Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Welcome each and everyone to the night to the Eagles in Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree,
Prophet Salia Dupree. We thank God for each and every one of you tonight is here tonight to take flight with us. Amen. As we get ready to go forth tonight in the Word, we want to ask you to just stand in the Word of Prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity we have to be before you tonight. And we count it all joy. We count it a privilege and honor, Lord, just to be able to be in your presence and even to honor you, Lord. And we even thank you for even being able to hear and receive from your Word tonight. And we thank you for this opportunity we have to lift up your name on high. There is none like you, Lord God, in all the earth, and we thank you as we open up our hearts to you to receive a word from you tonight. Holy Spirit, speak to us, speak through us, and Lord God, that we should be built up, strengthened in Jesus' name, that we should do what you need us to do to go forth and express your will, even by our life living. And I thank you, Lord God, for the impact of your word tonight. Thank you for even each and every one of us, Lord, even as we hear and receive Jesus. We thank you for the impact, the manifestation, the revelation, the truth of your word coming forth in Jesus' name. As we yield ourselves unto you, we thank you for the truth that manifests and come forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for causing that which is dim, that which is dark to be light in Jesus' name. Thank you for even knowledge and understanding. Bring for clarity. Wisdom, in Jesus' name, all those things that we need to be effective fishers of men, in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you tonight as we come before your presence. We surrender all to you that you should get all the glory and all the honor in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we lift you up, Lord. We magnify you from all the earth, Jesus. And you say you should draw men unto you, and we surrender all for your name. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all once again. Thank you for being on tonight. And we thank God for the opportunity to share his word with you tonight. And we ask you to thank God for this stage, this Bartow radio station, as well as even our brother Nate on the hot room, Nathan on the spot. We thank God for him and praise God for him and those connected with him that make it possible for us to be on tonight. We thank God for you all. Amen. So once again, let's get into the Word of God. Turn with us tonight to John chapter 12, if you may. And we're going to get ready to get into the Word tonight. And we're going to start at verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship, worship at the feast. The same came, therefore, to Philip, which was at Bethesda of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, brethren, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Amen. Okay, and also we want to turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way. Wait a minute. Go thy way. He said, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Amen. Glory to God. And we thank the Lord for his word tonight, and we thank the Lord for what he is about to do. And I want to point, that was one, but I'll come back to the other one later. But we want tonight, we will talk about die so others may live. The purpose tonight of this word coming forth, before we start there, I want to remind each and every one of anyone who need prayer, or you might like to make a comment towards anything that you might want to, God is giving you something you would like to say or bring out, have a question about. Amen. Feel free to call them. The number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. For those, and press 1 to get in the queue box for those who are watching my computer or listening to my computer or anything who would like to respond back and listen. Well, amen. We want to give you the opportunity. Amen. So as we get into the word, I want to just point the fact out that, once again, tonight we're talking about die so others may live. The purpose of this message is to go into the fact that sometimes we can be a block for other people's way into starvation, or we can be the conduits, the ones that God may use to bring change in people's lives. And only thing God needs for us is our participation. God just needs us to participate. He just needs us to follow. But sometimes, in order for us to be able to follow, we have to, we have to really submit. We have to give ourselves, surrender all. We can't do it in our own way and expect, we can't expect to do it our own way as far as, the way we want to do it. We have to be able to surrender and do it God's way, whatever he wants to do it. We have to follow him the way he wants us to do it. His way, the Bible tells us not to be wise in our own eyes. We have to understand in order for us to live, we got to die. Then die, that means also, for some people when they hear die, well, what do you mean by that? Well, that means you have to deny yourself in order for others to live. See, for Jesus, in order for Jesus to really was able to come here, walk the earth, do it all that he did, he had to deny himself the life in heaven. He had to deny those, the powers, the rights and, and the privileges for a period of time that he could have, that it was rightfully his to endure and enjoy. But he did it because of love. Mark chapter 16, verse 24 says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and imitate me, follow me. This is very powerful coming from the Lord, because he's really making a point here, letting us see if we really want him, if we really want to please the Father, if we really want to live a life to this is going to be pleasing on this side, we have to imitate him, because he's been the only one who's been able to come here, overcome sin and death, and still live a sinless life and be able to go back to the Father. He's been the only one who's been able to do that. The first Adam didn't do that, so the second Adam had to come and do what others could not do. No matter how many good things others have done, none was able to do what Jesus has done. And in order for us to live and do, be the example that God would have us to be, we have to do what he's done and do it his way. That's a verse I'm going to read again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, when you hear that part, if any man will come after me, that means you must have a desire to be like him. You must have a desire to do what he did. You must have a desire to be used the way he's been used. And most of all, you have to have a desire for souls. There's no way we can achieve that without having a desire for others besides yourself. See, if we're just living for ourselves, I mean, why would you want to give up your life? It's your life, you know. It's just, you know, what you want to live. But the Word of God tells us that if we love our life, we're gonna lose it. But if we hate our life, as in not caring so much about our life to pursue God and help others, we can get our mind off of ourselves and focus on others. Now we're flowing and living a life of a disciple that Christ wants us to live. It's very easy just to be consumed about ourselves, me and my TP, and that's all, you know. But when we get beyond ourselves and think about others, and I like to bring to a point, you know, like I mentioned before about Jesus, the time when Jesus was about to go to a deserted place to pray, and he was, you know, he was exhausted from the day, and he was used of God mightily. He was exhausted. He wanted to go spend some time with the Father. But then the people came up. He saw the people. He saw them, and he said they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he had compassion on them. He prayed for them. And when he prayed for them, he did, all of them got healed. I mean, he poured himself out even after he didn't want to. You know, I mean, I can imagine he just wanted to go spend some time with the Father and just call in the day. But then Jesus went ahead because of his love and his passion for the people. He went beyond his own self and gave himself to them, as far as to go pray and labor and love. That's why I don't care what title office you may carry, whatever. The bottom line, we are still servants first. God has called us to serve. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but I come to serve. If Jesus said that, then what's our problem? Why can't we serve? What's wrong with us? And so you really think the life that you live is your own? Think not. We're not here because of ourselves and our own selfish ways. It can happen because we, you know, it's just, you know, we can get caught up in the lap of luxury and just, you know, want to have this thing and that thing, but we have to really understand, why are we here? Why did he spare our life this far? Your life is a seed. Understand, your life is a seed. Lives lives are supposed to be affected by your life. You are a seed so others can live. That's why God would have us planted in some crazy places, our workplaces, go to different places that we didn't expect to go. We find ourselves in places, even on our daily travels. Why do you think certain people that you come across their pathway, why do you think you and your car break down in certain situations and your car seemed perfectly fine before all of a sudden you have a car have a problem? Certain things happen, why? By God's divine design, so we can be at the right place at the right time and make the positive impact. But a lot of times, guess what? We fail to death because we're so wrapped in why our life is going this, why things are happening to me, why can't I do this, why can't I do that. We're so caught up on the why, but to the why for our own life, not realizing that our life is a seed. There's a reason why certain things have happened to us. God has allowed. See, remember Job. Job was a right man of God, an intercessor. He prayed for his children and his family. Upright man, rich, had things going on. He had no reason not to be doing well. But God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant?" See, listen to that. He said, "Have you considered my servant?" You want to be considered by God? Serve. You can't be called. God can't call you a servant if you don't want to serve. See, God will deal with you. He will deal with you point blank. If you don't have a passion to serve, how can God use you? God didn't raise us up to be, you know, for people to come kiss our ring and give homage to us, you know, in such a way that, you know, it's not about us. If anyone had that right opportunity, it was Jesus. But even Jesus didn't come for that reason. If anyone needs to call, the number is 347-945-5416. You need prayer or you have a question about something, just definitely feel free to call in and press the number 1 and you'll come right on up. Amen. So we see here what Jesus is saying. Once again, he said, then Jesus said to the disciples, if any man will come after me. Now, you notice he said, all men must come. He didn't say that. He said, if, once again, if being one of the smallest words, but yet one of the biggest words in the Bible, if any man will come after me, if any man will pursue me, if any man have a desire to be with me, to desire to please me, desire pursue me, come after me, do what I did, imitate me, anyone have that desire, come after me. He says, let him first deny himself. In code, you got to die to self. Other words, you have to be able to put what you want aside in order for he inside of you to bring forth so others can live. Let me explain what I'm saying. Where is Jesus' geographical location on this earth? Inside me and you. Jesus is in your heart. He's in you. Okay, he's in you. He said we have been seated in heavenly places in Christ in the book of Colossians, telling about we're being seated in heavenly places. Other words, there was an exchange at the exchange. You went to higher ground. You went to we're sitting in heavenly places, but Jesus is now in us. The Spirit now in us operating. So now remember, now we didn't come in this earth as finished product. We still are a work in progress. Okay, keep that in mind. So every day that we spend time with Him, that we spend time in His Word, prayer, grow, desire to be with Him, as far as in His presence. The more we do those things that help us be shaped. Now, just think of a piece of wood. Now, someone who sculpt wood and shape ice, just imagine, they start off with a hunk of nothing. See? And we start off almost like that, where we use a lump of log, just not ready, not shaped, not even cut at all, just rough. But as we spend time in His presence, read His Word, all these things chisel. Is smoothing us out to look like Him. All of it is part of the process that we have to live in order to be pleasing in His sight. Now, yes, some of us are further than others. Some of us haven't even really cracked the log yet. You know, we still have a long ways to go. But the fact of the matter is there's progress that needs to be made. And as we surrender to all, as we surrender all, and we give Him our best, this is what we must give Him. Remember Jesus with the 5,000 and the five loaves and two fish with the 5,000. Jesus had nothing to work with, because what did we have? And the lad with the lunch, the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "This is what we have. What the young man has." And Jesus didn't turn it down and say, "This is not enough." He didn't say, "How dare you bring that little bit of stuff to me?" And he didn't do all that. He didn't go out. He didn't act funny, nothing. He said, "Bring it to me." See, no matter how ugly your situation may be, no matter how you may feel, no matter how where you are today, you may not even be the person that you want to be right now. You may look at yourself in the mirror and be like, "Oh, I can't stand this person." You could be that. It could be that bad. But guess what? Jesus will never turn you away. He will use whatever you give Him. If you give Him you, He'll use you. You give Him your best, He'll do His best. He just needs someone who's willing to give up yourself. I challenge you tonight. Forget about your flaws. Forget about your shortcomings. Forget about all the mistakes you've made. Forget about even the ones you might make. Forget about the things mom and them and granddaddy and them. Forget about all of that. I challenge you to pursue Him. Let the fire and love of God arise in you so much to where you forget about yourself and let it all be about Him. I double dog dare you. And you know, when we double those days, that's a high bargain. I tell you, forget about yourself. Pursue after him. When we can get beyond ourselves, God can do miracles. I'm telling you, as long as you have our focus on yourself, God can't do nothing with that. How can God pour himself into you when you're full of yourself? He can't. But when we get out the way, when we allow ourselves to be a vessel prepared for the master's use, God can do miracles, signs, and wonders just to show his glory. He said, deny himself. You have to deny yourself. What does deny actually really mean? See, in order for us to deny, we have to be willing to deny. You know, you have to have a mind to want more of him. You have to have a heart to pursue him. That word deny means to say that something is not true. Let me deal with that one for a second. How many times the enemy has said that you're a failure, you're not a success, you can never be nothing, you're ugly. I mean, all these different things that the enemy will say to you, that's not even nice. Because remember now, he doesn't care. He just says all kinds of stuff about you. You'll never be nothing. Nobody likes you. See, remember, he's the father of lies. So if he's saying all this stuff to you, first of all, deny him. Deny him the privilege of watching you accept his lies. Some of us are suffering from low self-esteem from early ages because of stuff that the enemy has put in people's mouth to say or put in their heart or mind to say. You have to understand the source of those accusations, those darts, those fiery darts of the wicked. When you are important to God, the enemy will always attack you. Hear me. When you are important to God, the enemy will always attack you. Because God has value. You are valuable to God. You're so valuable to God that the enemy can't stand it. He will try to come at you left way, sideways, all kinds of ways to try and get to you. And he will use whomever he needs to use, your children, your mom, your daddy, even your uncle. He'll use anybody. He says to refuse to accept or admit something. You just pushing away. You're not trying to receive that. See, we have to understand, we have to get more aggressive in denying the things of the enemy. We have to get more aggressive in denying the thoughts and the ideas from hell. We have to get more aggressive with denying the father of lies. See, we make it too easy for the enemy to persuade us any other way. We have to deny him. Matter of fact, the word of God tells us in 1 Peter, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist also means to deny. See, when we resist the enemy, he got to flee. But if we don't put our resistance, guess what? He's staying. We have to get in our hearts and minds that we do not have to accept the lies of the enemy and refuse to. If anyone desires to call in, the number is 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. Press 1 to get in the queue box. Amen. To refuse to give something to someone to prevent someone from having or receiving something. See, look at this. To refuse to give something to someone to prevent someone from having or receiving something. That's you. You're denying your flesh of what it wants and what it wants to do and not hearing what it don't want to do. See, your flesh will always tell you, oh, I don't want to read tonight. You can read tomorrow. Your flesh can always tell you, oh, you don't have to pray tonight. Just pray next week. Your flesh are always trying to find a way to get out of things to God. In Romans chapter 8 tells us your flesh cannot please God. And we never can. It never will. The flesh won't please God because it's not in it to please. It's rebellious. So because it's rebellious, your spiritual man needs to be stronger than the flesh. And your soul needs to align with your spirit for you to have the will to even stand and do the will of the Father. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is, in order for lives to be saved, in order for lives to be impacted, in order for your very purpose of going to church every Sunday, your very purpose of getting on the line and doing the week, your very purpose of even praying and living right, listen, denying yourself of the things that your flesh want to do, the reason why we do all of that is so others can live. We do it because we need to be the example. We do it because God needs to be able to use us as vessels prepared for the master's use. At any given time, he can drop the word in you to move, and you'll move. Why? Because you can hear him. You're not disconnected to him. See, your connection to God is life. That's everything. Everything you need is in God. Everything you need is in him. Everything you desire is in him. You want to be successful? It's in him. You want to have a nice life and a family? It's in him. See, it all goes back to him. He's the manufacturer. He's the one who made you. He's the one who's the author and finisher of your faith. It goes back to him. That's why we have to deny the flesh, because the flesh don't want to do right. The flesh want to do it the way it want to do it, when they want to do it, even how long it wants to do it. See, we have to understand that there's nothing good in the flesh. So in order for you to experience that part of God, what he wants to experience, we have to deny ourselves. We have to tell our flesh, no. Your flesh want to lay down, get up. Your flesh want to quit, press on. Your flesh want to flesh out, straighten up, walk right. Everything the flesh want to do is because you got to remember, because the flesh, once again, we have to make sure the flesh understands who's really in charge. God is in control. To declare untrue. Your failure, untrue. Deny that. Slap it down. See, let's go on the side note here. Let's go to start 2 Corinthians. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3. For we walk not. Well, let me back up a minute. Verse 2. I beseech you that I may not. Well, let's go to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, we're fighting the wrong one. We're fighting each other. We're fighting people. The battle's not in people. Let's go a little further. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not in the flesh. It's not in the natural things, but mighty through God to the pull down of strongholds. So if we're talking about strongholds in God, mighty through God to the pull down of strongholds, if we're talking about pulling down strongholds, we can't be talking about something in the natural. Even though it comes out in the natural, but it's not the natural thing that we're fighting. That's not the source of the problem. You can get mad at yourself every day for making the same mistake, but until you change your mindset, until you change what you're connected to, or what's leading you, what's driving you, what's pushing you, until you get that source right, that's where you have the problem. See, if you're being driven or led by the wrong spirit or going by the wrong way, you can get mad at your flesh all day long, but that's not the problem. The real problem is the face behind the face. Was who's really driving your car? Who's really empowering you the wrong direction? Casting down imaginations. Listen, it begins in your head. The enemy, it takes a decision to sin. It takes a decision to go the wrong way. It starts over with a decision. Images. That's why the images that come up in our mind. Now, listen, just because you see an image, that don't mean you have to agree with it. You don't have to stand in agreement with that thing. just because the enemy sent an image of your way, you don't have to accept it as true. You know, there. You know what? There are times where I've seen images come out of nowhere. As an image that, as a matter of fact, let me go this way. There was an image I seen one time. I was driving. I saw an image flash before me. It was a horrific thing. It had something to do with me. It was a horrific vision. I mean, not vision, but a flash of an image of something bad happening. What I had to do, cast down, shut it down, don't even receive it. I didn't panic, go into fear, but I didn't sit there and act like nothing ever happened either. Because we have to understand, the enemy wants you to agree with him. This is why we have to understand, use the power to deny the works of the enemy. He gives you an image that's not from God, cast it down. Don't have no discussion over whether, I wonder what that means. Let me call up some, don't even fool with it. If it does not look like anything from God, don't accept it. We give the enemy too much time to mess with our mind. And we wonder why we in such bondage, and we wonder why we get so caught up later. Because think about it. Check this out. You let that image sit in your mind. So enemy said, oh, he's receiving today. He drew another image and another. Next thing you have a photo album in your head of foolishness that needs to be cast out. And you wonder why you're struggling, because you want to do right, but your body want to do wrong. You're going to sit there entertaining the enemy so much, you look like a scarecrow going all which way. You don't know which way you want to go, because you entertain so much the wrong way. Now it's hard to do right. And we find ourselves in the corner, crying and wondering, what in the world did I do? How did I get here? It did not happen overnight. A photo album didn't come together in just one night. That was a collection over time. If we don't learn to dismantle negative images, pictures, thoughts, not from God, we'll find ourselves in the struggle all the time. This is warfare. This is not a kiddies game. This is not a gentleman's club. This is warfare. Everything begins with a seed. If the enemy can plant a seed in your head, see, understand this. The enemy is a master strategist. For anyone who desires to call him, once again, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-16. Press 1 to get in the cue box. Amen. If the enemy is a strategist, master strategist. What he does, see, he, you know, it's funny. Once again, I like to keep bringing this point. The enemy will operate in patience just to see you fall. It was a show we was watching, and this person had an encounter with someone 5 or 6 years ago on his island. Over the period of time, when they got back home, started a new life, there were some things that happened and directed to them, direct attacks. And over a period of a year, almost 2 years, then truth start coming out why these personal attacks was coming toward them. These attacks were coming to them from the person who they encountered 5 or 6 years ago on an island. You mean to tell me that person actually needs to sit in the dark all this time and strategize and actually watch each piece to the puzzle play itself out until the time of revealing came and he said, hey, it's me. Then everything began to come back to his mind, all the things that happened, and he must fall out. See, the enemy will sit there and watch. Strategize, operate in patience. It may even show a little love just to get your attention, just to set you up for a fall. He will do all those things. Listen, he will take on a block just to get to you. He will take on many just for you. When it comes to, and this is to, especially when you're starting to come into your purpose and you're really understanding who you are, now you've become more dangerous. See, the less you know about who you are, the less dangerous you are. because the enemy knows he got to work with you too much. But the more you begin to tell about the gospel, the more you begin to reach those lost, the more you begin to serve, the more you begin to be a blessing to the man and woman of God, whatever which way in the service you put your hand to the plow, begin to give your service to the church, the more you begin to do with those things that the church need to help them to come up in service, the more you begin to share the love of Christ to people who don't even, who's not even saved, who don't know anything about Jesus. Matter of fact, the more time you take time to talk to the person who potentially probably can kill somebody, but you take time to tell them about Christ. See, now you're starting to mess in his stuff now. Because you start to meddle it. Because you start to meddle it. Because now you start dealing with people's hearts, and they might actually get saved now. See, now you become the problem. And so now he said, you know what? Look, they had the board meeting. Look here. This person here, I want them dead. I don't want them alive. I want them dead. They're trying to tear apart everything around you to break you down. Because sometimes the enemy can't come so directly at you because he might can't get you like that. Because you've been praying up. You're praying. You're studying. You're reading your word. See, they couldn't come at Daniel any kind of how. Because why? Because Daniel was walking upright with God. Daniel wasn't messy. Daniel wasn't leaving a whole stuff behind, a lot of stuff laying around so they can get hold of it. They were looking for a reason to get Daniel, and they couldn't find nothing. So what did they do? They had to indirectly attack Daniel. By his God, by his service to the Lord, by his love for God. See, the enemy will go at everything around you just to get to you. And this is why you see the word where Jesus said, if you love father, mother, wife, children, all of them more than him, how did he say that? He said you can't. He said, "You Muslims, you must love. You cannot love. Until you hate mother, father, wife, children. Until you hate them and love him, You can't really properly serve. You can't be effective for him. And see, that's being said because if you love your wife more than Jesus, you love your mom and daddy more than Jesus, you love your church more than Jesus, you love everyone else more than Jesus, then, you know, how can he get the glory out of that? Until you hate mother, father, children, all of them going on down the line, then you can experience him. Matter of fact, it says, if any man come to me, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and listen, oh my God, and his own life also, you cannot be so stuck on yourself that you're not willing to die. And his life, he cannot be my disciple. That's just to be a disciple, y'all. That is really be one who follows or imitates what we've been taught. Let me read that one again. He said, if any man come to me and hate not, so that means you just say, well, Jesus, you know what? I'm going to hate them. No. That means you got to already settle the thing in your heart. He said, and hate not his father and mother. Now you know, father, you might can work with that. You might can, not father. But mama, that means mama can't be the first thing in your life. Now, that's all to them mama's boys out there. Mama can't be, daddy, okay, we knock daddy off. But mama, mama. All right. And wife. No man or woman should be in his place. And children. Don't know who your children is. Brethren and sisters. Yea, another ultimate. Even your own life. Also, he cannot be my disciple. And you know what? And this is what it comes down to. Because if Jesus said, I need you to go witness to the soul. On your way to witness the soul, if mama call you, hey, baby, I need you to come by the house. Mama, I got to, baby, you know I need you. You know, okay, mama. Now, mama to pull you off a mission indirectly for Christ. No, no, you allow her to pull you off a mission. That soul don't get saved. Something happened, crazy, freaky, to die. And guess who blood that hit that blood, who blood that gonna be like, whose hand that blood is gonna be on? Yours. Because if you don't have enough love for Christ to stay focused and do what he say do. See, you never see the thing is about it is you never know what moment is that moment. I've experienced this before. I was supposed to speak this, I was supposed to say something to a young man, I didn't do that. I heard this before, but I didn't do it. The very next day that young man got, he died in a car accident, going to work. Where his soul was, I don't know. But only thing I know is who got a foot of that bill? I did. Because I did not witness to him the way I was supposed to. That was a feeling when I heard that, my whole life got dark. I was really, that thing hit me hard because I'm thinking, me and another preacher said, you know what, I was supposed to say something to him too. And I was like, what? Now, he was more experienced. He was a pastor. But the fact of the matter, it didn't matter. What you're supposed to do, you're supposed to do, because you never know what soul needs you to speak life before death. What happened? I don't know. Did he make it in? I don't know. But only thing I know is I failed the test because I did not share what I was supposed to share with him. I went to him twice and didn't say the right thing, didn't say it. Because why? Listen to this. Like the last part of the verse says, and even yourself, I tried to save my face and I didn't say anything. So in me saving my face, I lost because that soul was not saved. And especially at that time. If that's how it ended up, I don't know for sure at the time of death, but all thing I know is they didn't find it until that evening, turned over in the water. His car went up the road, and he tipped over. But the thing is about it is, his soul at least could have been resting in the right place. If it's not, if nothing else happened. Because who knows, God could have had someone encounter him that night after I failed the test. And that's the thing, too. See, you never, once again, you never know, you might be the last voice that they hear before death comes. Because, see, that's why, too, God, that's why we don't serve a poor God to where we're the only person that God can use. Trust me, God, you don't just have to use you, and you're not, don't let Beyonce fool you, you're not irreplaceable. I mean, you are irreplaceable. Don't think that you're not. Because if what you don't do, he'll raise another up to do it. And so just in case I thought that I was okay, I mean, that just because I dropped the ball, well, he could have had someone else meet him up and say what he needs to say. Who knows? But as far as my knowledge, no one did. And that's why we must die that not ourselves can live. God can't have, see, that's, When the person's in the military, that's why civilian life and military life cannot mix. Not only just so they can stay focused, but the connections that you make. Some connections that we make can be a danger to us because they can pull so hard on us, so strong to where we will forget, we will drop what we're doing, and go after them or do something like that. And next thing you know, we find ourselves in a bad situation. For instance, we've seen it before. People get into some battles with people, alive in their situation. They take the person that is closest to them. They go after their family. See, why does the enemy tell people to target their family? Why does the enemy like to use your mama to get you? Listen. Just when you've been spending time with God, making great achievements and striving God, all of a sudden, your mama starts talking sideways. Where does this come from?
And you look at mom like, what? All you need to do is always go to church, church, church. All of a sudden, now listen, all before she had a problem with it. All of a sudden right now, just when you're about to go into higher things of God, now she had a problem with you going to church. Okay. Let's make it closer. Your wife. Your husband. You've been doing, see, as long as you've been slacking going to church once or twice a month, this is all right. No ruffles. The minute you start getting consistent with it, all of a sudden, this time look at you funny at the table. And we're just so happy about. I mean, I just love Jesus. That's funny. Last week, you didn't even smile like that. Now you smile. Just find all kind of crazy reasons to stir up stuff. Now you look at them funny, like, you know what? But you got to recognize, it's not them. It's the one who's using them. And listen, and they get this, they could actually be saved. That's the thing that gets you. They can actually be saved. They can actually love the Lord. But got a problem with you because you're smiling over there. But once again, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus don't want anyone to be a liability to you, so he wants to be number one. See, if your focus is him, then it doesn't matter what everyone else, because, you know, you do what you do, but the enemy can't use them so easily to pull you off track when our heart is focused. Now, don't get me wrong. I know it's easier said than done. Being, you know, having a family in Christ and you do what you do, as you know, especially as a married person versus a single, is a little different, because your things, your concern as a married person is to your family as well. And then you, as a single person, you know, it's just you and the Lord. But we all have to make choices. It always comes down to the choice. So I can't look at you all funny just because you're single and thinking, oh, you got it good, you got it easy. No, not necessarily, because you got challenges as well as I do. It's just on a different scale. What your challenges are as a single person is a challenge. I have different challenges on the scale of a married person. That's why we got to be careful. Don't look down on someone just because they may not be married, or you may be married, they're not, or what it is. Be careful with that, because the fact of the matter is we all have our own struggles on our own level. And it's real. And see, and just because you may have gone through this problem, okay, you may have mastered that problem, but they may have a problem on that level. But this other area, they aced that. You struggled with that. So we have to be mindful. Jesus wants to use you. So going back to John chapter 12, we're going to fish it up there. Well, I'm sorry. Let me finish that part in 2 Corinthians. Casting down, okay, whoever's up warfare in our corner, my three guys, casting down imaginations and pulling down, I'm sorry. Whoever's up warfare in our corner, my three God, to the pulling down the strongholds. Casting down imagination in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, whenever the enemy starts bringing things to try to attack or what you know is right in God and try to cause you to come down from your standard in God or try to talk you out of it, you got to cast those things. You have to arrest it, shut it down. See, too much talking in your ear can lead you off track. The enemy, see, we sit there, we let the enemy talk too much. Jesus walked up on the scene. This man was crazy at the spirit in him, there's some spirits, and he said, the spirits are saying, why are you coming after me? My time is not yet, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And once he called him out, he said, shut your mouth, come out of here. He didn't sit there and have no conversation with him. He didn't ask him to play no checkers. He didn't ask him to play no chess. He didn't give him a high five, a low five. No, he ain't did none of that. See, sometimes we play with the enemy too much. We let the enemy have too much room. Don't sit there and listen to him talk all night long and wonder why you can't get it together the next day. We have to shut him down. Jesus didn't waste his time. He said, shut up and come out. Listen, I know some of y'all scared to use the shut up word, but when it comes to the enemy, you have to say, shut up and get out. You can't be, listen, you can't be nice to your enemy. Come on, man. If that's your enemy, that's your enemy. He's not your best friend. You don't owe him no love. Stop, listen, y'all. Stop being friends with the devil and cutting up the saints. Oh, yeah, I know I said that. See, stop being friends with the devil and cutting up the saints. You don't know how we do it. The people who act like hellions, the sinners, oh, we've been friends with them all day long. The saints, to be so mean and greasy and nasty. I've seen it so many times. But no, why are they so mean? Why Christians gotta be so mean sometimes? Can somebody tell me that? I just want to know. But anyway, all right. But yeah, so back to that. All right, so casting out imagination every high thing that acknowledges yourself against the knowledge of God, and bring in, check this out, and bring it into captivity. Shut it down. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. If it's out of order, bring it back in order. Shut it down. Don't let it sit there and echo crazy talking you sideways. Bring it back into order. This is why we as saints cannot be afraid to use our authority. This is not just for me as an apostle or minister of the gospel. That's for every saint out here. You have this authority. Use it. You don't have to sit there and listen to what the enemy is talking about. You don't have to sit there and succumb yourself to that. You don't have to just sit there and take whatever he did to you either. Why would God give you authority if he didn't mean for you to use it? Why would he give you boldness if you're never supposed to walk in it? Well, I guess that's why some people don't. But anyway, this is in having, verse 6, in having all, I'm having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That means, NLT says, after you have become fully obedient. Now remember, let me say this clause right here. If you are out of order, you can't put nothing in order. We can't tell the devil to come out of you looking like him. If we have things in common with the devil, we can't cast him out. Because your authority has been null and void. I mean, you know, shoot, you talking about trash, but I know what you did last summer. I'm just saying. That's what he does. And he's not afraid to tell you about it either. Okay? Then he says, after you have become fully obedient, so in other words, after you walk in line upon line, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. So anything that's trying to be disobedient after that, now you have the authority to slap it back in face. Now don't go slapping nobody now. Don't be saying, I ain't saying go slap nobody. I'm talking about your spirit. You got to deal with your spirit. But amen. All right. Let's go back to John chapter 12 in closing. And let's go to verse 23. It says, and Jesus, well, let me go back. Then you see this verse 21, the same, therefore, to Philip, which was in Bethesda of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. We would see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. Okay, now, let me point this part here out. People wish to see Jesus. And me, you, us. They let the people see Jesus, y'all. In order for the people to see Jesus, we have to do what Jesus did and is still doing. By the way we live, people will see Jesus. We have to live this life. We have to live it. And yes, we have challenges. Things come. But our heart's desire should always be to live for Jesus, to be such an example for him, that people see him when he see us. Okay, moving on down to verse 23. And Jesus answered, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. This is now his time to be put on display. There's a time that God is going to have for you to be displayed where people are going to see who you really are. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, until you until you deny yourself, humble yourself, so you cannot be seen, but let Jesus be seen. See, we have to be willing to get out the picture so others can see Jesus. We can't want the spotlight and want to be seen. Because, see, if we want to be seen, God can't bless that. He's not trying to promote you. We're supposed to be promoting Jesus. It's not about us. Fall to the ground and die. Now, see, falling to the ground and die also shows us there's a process that has to happen. It abides alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. In order for you to produce, you got to move it away. In order for fruit to be produced out of your life and touching others, we have to move out the way. How sometimes we stand in the way of sinners being saved because we do things that cause them to be confused, or we say things that cause them to be hurt, or not even wanting to give Jesus a chance. Okay? He that loves his life shall lose it. See, we cannot be so in love with our life till we lose it. He goes on to say, and he that hated his life in this world shall keep his eternal life. When you're not satisfied with your life, that's a good thing. Man, it's when you say, man, you know what? It got to be more to my life than this. There's no way, man. Jesus, you saved me just for this. See, until you have a desire for more of him, you can't really live. See, you have to have the desire to die. Get rid of the life that you have and go beyond that. It's very easy to get a nice little job and home and family and just be so content and stop there. No, it's more than that. What about the lives you're supposed to touch? Jesus, you said you make us fishers of men. Why aren't you fishing? Why don't you take the time to go out by the water? See, the water is life. It's very easy to stand inside the church every week or on the line, but when are we going to go outside and start fishing for real? We got so much time on our hands, we fighting one another. We got so much time on our hands, we getting the stuff that we ain't got no business to get to. Why? Because we ain't busy enough. If you've been out there winning souls, you ain't got time to be getting everywhere else. It's time to go fishing. Souls are waiting for us. We have the remedy for the death that's inside of them, and we hold them back playing with, fighting with one another. Because they take your seat on the first pew. Because they look at you funny in your new red dress. Are you serious? It's a circus. It's time for us to come on and start playing. All right. I know, I'll probably get some emails on that one in boxes. That's fine. That's okay. There's more of that going around. Amen. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Well, I'm sorry, let's skip it. Yes, right. If any man serve me, let him follow. Let him follow me. Let him imitate me. Do as I do. Do as I did. Do as I'm doing. See, We got to stop sitting there and asking, what would Jesus do? What did he do? What did he do? And listen, what is he saying right now to do? People acting like Jesus can't speak now. Do you have a relationship or you have a religion? If you got religion, then you're right. He ain't speaking. He ain't saying nothing to you. Because you got a form of godliness. And you denying the power thereof. Because, see, you don't want the real. See, the real comes through a relationship. And, yes, we've all been falling short, but it comes a point in time that we have to make up in our minds and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready. Trust me, I'm not saying that, like I said earlier, we all have some areas to work on. Yep, we sure do. I'll be the first to tell you. But the fact of the matter is, how long are we going to stay there, y'all? How long do we keep always having stuff to work on? When we start making progress and work on things to get it right? It's one step I have in desire. Yes. But we need to start putting forth the effort. We need to be the Jesus in this earth that we need to be. We need to be the examples. People are running to people in Islamic, you call it 5%ers, and you got other different things up there, being a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. They're running to all of them because why? Because they're seeing results. Because they're not getting missed messages from them. They're seeing what they see. But we, the church, got to come up. Yes, happened yesterday and days past, you may not walk right, didn't do right. Guess what? Forget about it. I'm going to Italian on you. Italian, forget about it. Let it go. You didn't do it right. We didn't do it right. Let it go. Forget it. Forgive yourself. Let it go. Forgive them. Let it go. Don't make me go frozen on y'all. Don't make me go frozen. Let it go. All right, bring it to a close. He goes on. He said, don't lose it. He that loves his life shall lose it. So if you love yourself so much, what you're doing, you just missed it. You're not gonna have it. He that hates his life in this world should keep it to eternal life. In other words, you're gonna gain by giving up your life. You're gonna progress in God. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there also my servant should be. See, we can't really see Jesus or walk in Jesus until we do what he's done. He's walked it out for us. He's laid the pathway. We just have to abide and do what he said. If any man serve me, him, my Father will honor. Why? Because if you serve him, that must mean you want to be like him. And God honors that. He honors that. There's a high five from the Father. Bam. You got it. See, we're supposed to be Jesus on this earth, living out, doing greater things in the sense of by the numbers, what he's done already. The dead being raised, that shouldn't be there, though. No, that should be something happening regular. Common thing. But because we don't sacrifice and give ourselves so much to the point where we can be vessels used like that, we don't see it enough. Just simple miracles. Amen. Now is my soul troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, I have come to this hour. Let me read NLT verses. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray? Father, save me from this hour. But for this very reason, I came. This was part of his purpose, dying, so others can live. So if that's Jesus, part of Jesus' purpose, dying so others can live, then what do you think our purpose is too? Dying so others can live. It's not about us. It's all about him. His will, his plan for our life. Die, deny yourself so others can live. Lives are in the balance waiting on you. Stop. Listen. What time did the message? Do DNR. Do not resuscitate yourself on the table. Some of you want to. I see you on the table trying to die. God trying to kill you so others can live. But no, you trying to fight that. No, I like to live on. No, I'm trying to. You don't want to let go. The hardest thing for people to do is let go. It's time to let go now. Stop resuscitating yourself. Because you're holding up progress for others who's waiting on you. Your life is a seed. Thank you for your time. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for each and every heart that's out there right now. We pray that if there's anyone who needs to be born again, repeat after me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I need you. I can't do without you. I surrender my life to you. I believe Jesus died and rose on the third day for me. And I thank you for giving me life, giving me the opportunity to receive you as Lord and my Savior. I receive now you as Lord and Savior right now. Thank you for saving me and causing me to live again. Okay, for those who need to rededicate your life, Lord, forgive me for going astray. Thank you for bringing me back into alignment. Thank you for Jesus dying for me and bringing me forth, and now bring me back into alignment with his will for my life. I surrender all. I can't do it without you. And I thank you for saving my life now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Once again, thank you all for being on tonight. I pray that the word has touched you. It's time to die so others can live. Let it go so others can have an opportunity to do what God has done in your life. Or it's greater things that you need to experience in God. We cannot experience those greater things in God if we are in the way. It's time for us to move out of the way and let God get the glory out of our lives. Give your life wholly, completely to God, and let him raise you up and be who he's called you to be. God bless you all. Kingdom blessings. Apostle Dupree signing off. Good night. Yes.
For me, yes, he's the one of whom I speak. say yes.